With the burden of sin lifted, our hearts and minds are ready to hear and listen to the Word of God. Let us pray now that God gives us ears to hear. God, you knew us before our time, and you know us better than we know ourselves. Give us wisdom by your word. Give us healing by your spirit. Set us free with your love. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Isaiah 58, verses 9 through 14. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Not just a few weeks ago, I was up here preaching about rest. It would seem a fitting foundation for this week's scriptures regarding the Sabbath. Sabbath is a word that gets used a lot and in many different contexts. Often it becomes synonymous with the Lord's Day, as many Christians observe Sabbath on Sundays, beginning with worship, then Sunday school, then perhaps family supper, and prayers in the evening. The Jewish community typically observes Sabbath on Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, taking time to abstain from working and focus on prayer and family. Even most pastors take or attempt to take a Sabbath day, though they are typically Mondays and Fridays. But the busier we get, the more we subscribe to the pace of our society, the less this practice of Sabbath holds true. Schedules get booked up with events and sports, concerts, grocery shopping, house chores, volunteering, family time, and 40-hour work week jobs that wind up being 60-plus. More often than not, we don't actually take a full day of Sabbath, resting in the traditional sense. So let's talk about Sabbath. What is it actually? Why is it important, and how do we actually observe it? You may be wondering, is this just going to be another sermon about rest? No, I think. We'll see. When God created the heavens and the earth, God rested on the seventh day and made it holy. This is the origin of the Sabbath day that is enshrined in the Ten Commandments, that shows up all throughout the Bible and is in our spiritual lives. Although the ways of practicing the Sabbath are on a continuum and everyone observes it a little differently, there tend to be two major extremes. The first involves absolutely no work, often unplugging from technology, devices, computers, TVs, and refraining from driving to places or ordering out food. This allows connection time with family and with God. The second extreme involves what some refer to as freeing work. It is the idea that the Sabbath is not just for rest, but it is also for putting aside our work, our own interests, and our own privilege to stand with God. It is the choice to free ourselves from the day-to-day grind and instead work in the world to rid it of injustice and oppression. Sabbath, in this freeing work context, invites healing and justice and renewal. Now, as I have said before, the need for rest is real. And we are wise to heed that and listen to our bodies. And, as Jesus modeled for us in today's text, the Sabbath day is not just for rest. It is for stepping outside of ourselves, our patterns, our habits, sometimes even society's rules, and participating in God's promises, God's covenant work. The difference between our daily work and freeing work, as Jesus models, is when we work not for work's sake, but for others' sake, so that they may be lifted up. So as we talk about Sabbath, I invite you to hold these two ideas together. Observing the Sabbath, to keep it holy, and Sabbath as a holy day of rest. Rested and able to do holy work, honoring God and seeking justice for our neighbors. In the Genesis creation story, before God rested on the seventh day, God looked over creation and called it very good. Then and only then did God rest. Now we are indeed all beloved children of God, each one of us beautiful in God's image. But when I look around our world, I don't see very good. I see broken. I see families being torn apart by those who cling to power. I see the humanity being ripped away from those who do not look or believe a certain way. I see violence being the first reaction in place of communication and dialogue. I see bullying used to silence and bend the knees of those who disagree. I see neighbors turning guns on neighbors under the guise of peace. And I see fear and hate filling the space where love and compassion are to live. And I wonder, can we truly rest as injustices tear through the earth? Perhaps this creation story, God resting as things were very good, speaks to how we ourselves are to observe the Sabbath. That is, resting after we work for justice and good things for creation. Keeping the Sabbath holy is the commandment. And from there, religious and societal rules branch out. At first glance, one might see the Sabbath as an individual practice, one that offers secluded rest from the hustle and bustle of the world. But if we zoom out and see it as a communal practice, we see that to keep the Sabbath holy requires a mutual uplifting of one another. That freeing work I mentioned moments ago. And it becomes clearer to me, especially from our texts today, that perhaps societal rules put in place are not always a fulfillment of God's laws, but rather a mischaracterization put in place for control. Sometimes, even if the rules originated with good intentions, manipulation and enforcement of the rules or religious observances can become a means of social control and oppression. And often, those rules are not applied to the rule enforcer the same way they are the community. Jesus points this out when he calls the leaders hypocrites for taking their animals to water on the Sabbath while refusing to help a daughter of Abraham. In our text, the faith leaders were highly opposed to Jesus healing on the Sabbath. But it was not just that. They were opposed to someone challenging the social and religious order and the resulting power they gained from it. They were opposed to Jesus contradicting their practices and healing someone that was forced into the shadow of society, someone who was deemed unworthy, someone for whom no one, until now, offered to help. Jesus saw through the veils of the social order, and he saw the unseen. Jesus saw someone who couldn't even speak for themselves to be known. The unnamed daughter of Abraham did not ask for help. And I wonder if she even thought she could. nor did anyone in the crowd ask for help on her behalf. Perhaps because she had disappeared from their sight over the past 18 years, after the rules had isolated her from community and the social order. For whatever reason, whether it be language barriers, fear, force, threats, dehumanization, no one asked for help. But Jesus saw her, and Jesus did not only heal her, he made her seen. He set her free from the bonds of oppression. Now, rules themselves are not inherently a bad thing. We are, after all, Presbyterian and like to do things decently and in order. But at what point does adhering to rules get in the way of loving thy neighbor? At what point does meeting societal expectations based on Scripture become barriers and bondage rather than freeing and connecting? I pose these questions because the desire to create faith-based rules in order to retain power and control of social order is not something confined to biblical history. It also shows up in our own history and even our present. Reflecting on the American South during the time of slavery, Frederick Douglass writes, "It was necessary to keep our religious masters at St. Michael's unacquainted with the fact that instead of spending the Sabbath in wrestling, boxing, and drinking whiskey, we were trying to learn how to read the will of God. For they had much rather seen us engaged in those degrading sports than to see us behaving like intellectual, moral, and accountable beings." The restriction of doing good or growing oneself in relationship with God, one another, and education on the Sabbath kept the oppressed from improving their lives and experiencing justice, and it also kept the oppressors in power. Doing good in this context threatened the social order, just as Jesus' healing on the Sabbath did. And today, we see religion being used by those in power as justification to control the lives of others. Restrictions for women, government-sanctioned curfews for youth, and attempted erasure of the LGBTQ community, just to name a few. So if the Sabbath means we are being called to look beyond ourselves into our community and participate in God's freeing work, how are you being called to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy? How are we as Manassas Presbyterian Church being called to keep the Sabbath holy? Perhaps you are being called to liberate yourself and your neighbors from societal norms, recognizing value as a human being and beloved child of God, rather than valuing self and others based on how much they produce, how many friends they have, or how much money they make. Perhaps you are being called to open your eyes to see rather than close them to sleep, to look around and really see God's people, God's creation. Perhaps you are being called to serve, not yourself, but your neighbors, friend and stranger alike who are asking for help or who are unable to ask for help. Perhaps you are being called to turn off the TV. And let's be honest, some days you just need a good TV show binge. But perhaps you're being called away to go outside, to truly experience the wonders of creation and the things that maybe even inspired the making of that TV show. Perhaps you are being called away from scrolling through headlines and toward organizations that get involved in and are seeking justice around the world. Perhaps each of us in our own ways are being drawn out of our solitudinal Sabbath with our own thoughts and drawn into the world of Sabbath, offering our hands of service to others so everyone can rest in the knowledge that they are loved and cared for. Amen.